What is good, everybody? It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Bear down, Bears fans, because another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast is coming your way. On today's episode, we got to look at the Bears trenches. PFF has given their ranking for the Chicago Bears trenches on both sides, on the offensive and defensive line. They're very stark differences, but want to know, one, how you guys feel. Let us know in the comments below. Do you feel like the trenches is set? Drop Y for yes or N for no in the comments below. And of course, got to give my thoughts on where this offensive and defensive line are right now. Appreciate you guys, as always, for showing love. And make sure you guys show love to our partners out at the Hard Rock Casino, because this episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. Appreciate everybody who's showing love. Let's jump straight into this, because this to me is the most important conversation that Bears fans can have this offseason, because we're all excited about, we got the weapons, we got the receivers, we got the DBs, we got the running back room set. Everything is set. Is the offensive line set? On the defensive side, we got the linebackers, we got the DB, or I'm sorry, I said that backwards. We got the linebackers and DBs. I said DBs for the other side. But is that defensive line set? And PFF goes through a couple of different emotions, shall we say, between the Bears offensive and defensive line. Let's start off with the offensive line. Bears offensive line is ranked 11th overall in the NFL, which is very interesting and tells you kind of what they felt about how Justin Fields was impacting the offensive line last season, because we saw an offensive line, to me, that struggled for a good chunk of the season. But PFF feels like, no, it has more to do with Justin Fields holding on to the football and different things like that. You'll see these guys move in the right direction this season. They say the Bears offensive line, as it got healthy, was one of the top units in the NFL toward the second half of the season for 2023. Center Ryan Bates is expected to complete the unit and bring it to the next level. In Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, Chicago has a promising young offensive tackle duo, and Tevin Jenkins has performed extremely well since moving to guard, earning a 70-plus PFF overall grade in 2022 and 2023. And 11th overall is, listen, I feel like that means that the Chicago Bears are going to do some good things offensively. And it also means that they address some things on this offensive line. So you love the fact that you hear that the Bears are 11th overall through this. They're sitting 10 just behind Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers, Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, Atlanta Falcons, New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, Indianapolis Colts, Philadelphia Eagles, and number one in the league, the Detroit Lions, your rival that you're going to have to go up against. And I can't argue with that right now. But here's where now the questions come in, because 11th overall in the NFL, I would love to see that be the case. We're still having the question on Nate Davis. When we get to training camp, we'll see. I'm not even going to talk about that issue right now. My biggest issue with where this line is at right now and why 11th seems a little bit high to me is the health of this offensive line. Right? The as it got healthy part of that is the part that really sticks out to me, because I think that's the part that we have to question the most heading into this season. Braxton Jones, like when you look at the names on paper, yeah, I'm here for it. When I look at the Chicago Bears names on paper, Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, sounds like an offensive line that can actually do some damage. But taking it outside of the paper, taking it to the field, you've got two guys on your team who have struggled to play more than 12 games in a season, in Tevin Jenkins and in Nate Davis. You've got a center position where PFF just assumes that Ryan Bates wins this job. But I believe there is a competition there. I believe that there is going to be some fight there. I believe that Coleman Shelton may have something to say about this. I believe that the Bears may have to even add some pieces in because of some of the concerns at other spots. So how is that center dynamic going to work with some of the pieces that may have to be added in that you have to take into account as well? I think on the other side of that, you do have the question of Braxton Jones. While he is a fine left tackle, as far as like, does he meet expectations? Sure. I don't have injury concerns with Braxton, but I do have, if Tevin Jenkins isn't next to Braxton, is he going to struggle? Because we saw that be the case last season as well. We saw that be an issue last season as well. So I agree. If healthy, this Chicago Bears offensive line can be the 11th, heck, a top 10 offensive line in the NFL. But that is where the biggest question comes in with this offensive line. And that is why I love the fact that we've got some depth. I love the fact that you go out and you draft the young guy, Karan Amageji. I think that that's going to help this team in the long run. I think that when you're talking about the Chicago Bears being able to go out there and when you're talking about being able to create some consistency on the line, right? When you're talking about being able to go out there and create a dynamic that isn't going to change Sunday to Sunday, I think that's where the biggest question comes in with this offensive line. And that's the reason why I'm fine with 11, but it does stick with that as it got healthy part, because that's the part that stands out the most to me about this team. This is a team that has not been able to get healthy. And now you may be in a situation heading into the season where, right, the question marks on Nate Davis and all of that, everybody's got him right now. Everybody's losing their minds over him right now. But the real part of that is who has to take his spot if he's not there? Who has to take Tevin Jenkins' spot if he's not there? Maybe you feel a little bit better about Tevin because you've got the young guy, Karan, coming in. But there's some development that needs to take place there. You can't sit here and tell me that Karan Amageji is going to step in there, snap one, and be, boom, ready to go in the NFL. I don't believe it. I'd love to see it. We saw it a little bit with Braxton Jones. He went through his struggles, but we saw him be able to hold his own. But can we really sit there and say that that's going to work every single time? I just don't know. Especially when you're dealing with later round picks like that, I want to believe it. I want to see it before I believe it, right? And so to me, I'm looking at that 11th spot right now as the biggest tentative spot in the world, because I think if you have a season like you had last season with the Chicago Bears, while yes, they did finish strong, but if you have a season with that injury piling up, with a new quarterback, a new offense, all of these new pieces in place, it is not going to work out the way that a lot of people think it's going to work out. In fact, I would say that it's going to work out negatively for the Bears. It's not going to work out in their favor because of how many moving pieces you have to try and fit in all at once. I do want to know how you guys feel. Let me know in the comments below. I'll be down to talk with you guys as well. Do you think that this Chicago Bears offensive line is the 11th best offensive line overall? Do you think that they should make some changes? I had this conversation with Yurko on should the Bears bring in Connor Williams because of the Nate Davis questions, right? And there's pieces on the line that you're trying to get done, that you're trying to bring in and stuff like that. And I think we definitely need more on the defensive line if we were going to make an addition. But to me, I'm not out on going out and getting a guy like Connor Williams. To me, I think that, yes, there are a lot of what ifs if you go out and get a guy like Connor Williams. The fact that he has to start the season week one, right? He's not going to be at training camp. He's not going to be able to work himself in. He's not going to be able to get a rapport with this team. But I think you could take some safety measures for a guy like Connor Williams. I think bringing in a player like him, you saw what he was last year. Yeah, you got to come in and prove yourself, but could he be a long-term piece that is the right piece for that team? Because here's the thing that we do know. Ryan Bates can play right guard. And that may be where you have to place him. And guess what? All that does is kill some of your depth. If you don't have Nate Davis in there week in and week out at right guard, guess what? You got to shift Ryan Bates over because he's played right guard. Coleman Shelton's played center. Now everybody's kumbaya. Now you're very thin behind him. I would look at a name like Connor Williams to bring in because of a situation like that. And I understand, like Yurk said, I agree with him. You do have to rely on Nate Davis to start the season. You have to sit there and go through the season because you've paid him the money already. But if you feel like you're in a position to try and go out there and win games, you also got to make the best decision that's going to put your team in a position to win games. And again, Coleman Shelton as the starting center doesn't scare me, but I don't think it's a long-term answer. I don't think it's something where it's like, oh, this guy's the guy, because he got let go out in L.A., and Matthew Stafford is not a mobile guy. So if he was an elite center, I don't think he'd be on the market. So you probably assume he's a guy who can go out there and do his job. He can snap the football and block at a minimum. That's what you want to see. Love that. but how much of that is going to be able to hit immediately? How much of that is going to work out long-term for the Chicago Bears? How much of that is going to be the answer at that position versus somebody who, yes, coming off an ACL injury, very scary. Y'all know how I feel about guys who have had injuries, right? When I talked about Tevin Jenkins over on the Breeze coming in, and when he was drafted, I was like, listen, we're drafting a dude with injuries already. Big guys don't get healthier. But I think you can get Connor Williams at a little bit of a discount. I think he's somebody who you can get in here, right? He was on a $7 million deal, I believe, last season. Can you get him in here maybe at $5 million? Can you get him in here on a little bit more of a discount? Say, listen, and he's already said, I want to play center. Can you get a guy in here who can compete to be the starting center for this team while still having a guy who maybe you got slated as starting center right now, but he's a starting right guard? He's a starting caliber right guard, and I'm talking about Ryan Bates there. Now, again, that's worst-case scenario. All of it falls on worst-case scenario. I don't think that the Chicago Bears are at worst-case scenario thinking right now, and so I don't know if a deal with Connor Williams gets done. I don't know if the Chicago Bears don't go out there and look to attack the other side of that football, which I do think is more important, and we'll talk about the defensive line coming up here in a minute, but I just think that there may still need to be some things addressed on this offensive line when you're talking about long-term positions. And maybe that doesn't come through free agency. And I'm okay with that. But what I'm not okay with is Caleb Williams being running for his life, being on the run because of things that we knew coming into the season. If Tevin Jenkins goes down with injury, is anybody in here going to be surprised? If Nate Davis goes out with injury or whatever it is anybody else going to be surprised in here? I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. No, we knew this coming. We knew this was coming. We knew there was a chance of this happening. It's very similar to what, right? Like I look at the teams around the league, right? Look at the White Sox, look at the Bulls, look at the Cubs. Why are they in the positions that they're in right now? Because things happened that we knew there was a greater chance of them happening than not. And when you tie yourself to something that there's a greater chance of it happening than not, you're going to be on the losing end of that, right? To me, when I look at the Chicago Bulls, I'm not surprised that we're here. Why? Lonzo Ball, you signed him. I like the signing. I thought he was a good player. Your hope was he could stay healthy. He couldn't. Chicago White Sox, why are they the team that they are right now? Nobody's been healthy for 4 years. None of the young pieces, Lou Bob, Eloy, Yoan, none of them. We knew they weren't healthy coming in. Chicago Cubs. Why are they in the spot they're in right now? They got no pitching staff. Guess what? They didn't have a pitching staff to finish the season. No one's surprised by this. No one is shocked by the fact that the Cubs are struggling with a pitching staff. And see, to me, those are the things that when you look at the GMs and different things around the league that you feel are more unforgivable. Those are the things that I look at and I'm like, all right, look, you knew this guy was a health hazard, was a guy who may not be on the field and you still threw your quarterback behind him. And I think if you're in a position where you have no choice, that's very different. But I do think the Bears have an option here if they were to go out and sign a Connor Williams and in the beginning of the season, would it be looked at as a little bit nutty? For sure. During training camp, would it be looked at as nutty? For sure. You're going to have your rookie quarterback start with a center that he's had no rapport with. He's going to have to figure out on the fly in week one. 100%. That's nuts. But it's crazy all until the thing that you assume is going to happen or the thing that you have seen happen and history tells you probably will happen again happens. That's just my two cents on it. Let me know you guys' thoughts in the comments below. Do you feel that the Chicago Bears' offensive line is the 11th best offensive line in the NFL? I'll be down there talking with you guys as well. Appreciate y'all for showing love. If you haven't done so, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, man, and leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do, man. Let's keep this thing moving along because they also rank the defensive line. And oh, ho, ho. You got concerns about 11, Pat? Oh, there's concerns on this defensive line, ladies and gentlemen. PFF giving the Chicago Bears the 27th ranked defensive line in the NFL. And I have a tough time saying that they're wrong. I have a tough time looking at it and being like, no, yeah, I don't see why they would say that. Here's what they say. Chicago's defensive line improved massively with the additions of Montez Sweat, who provided a real and consistent source of pressure after the team traded for him at the deadline. Sweat tallied 64 quarterback pressures last season, but the Bears' defensive line will be determined by the growth in year two of defensive tackle Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens. Dexter flashed playmaking ability as a rookie, but the Bears need more from him in 2024, and I love that they zeroed in on this. Let's start it off with our edges. Ryan Poles did nothing to address the edge outside of drafting Austin Booker. Montez Sweat is here. Love the fact that Montez Sweat is here. You got D-Walk on the other side. As it stands right now, I'm not confident that this defensive line is going to be able to consistently sack the quarterback, but they pointed something out that I think is the most important piece of this. And I said this on the episode that we did with Herb Howard, right? If the Chicago Bears go into this season and get Meek's expectation to above expectation from Javon Dexter, they will be a playoff team. But if they get consistent above expectation level from Javon Dexter, they could be a playoff team that could go deep into the playoffs. I think he's that much of an important piece heading into this 2024 season. I look at him as a guy who, I mean, to me, when I look at Javon Dexter, you see, if he can create that pressure, it literally makes what the Bears have right now fine. It makes what the Bears have right now, to me, top 10 to 12 level in the NFL. Because now you've got a guy who's consistently going up the middle and getting into the face of the quarterback. And that's what you need to see. And we saw that a little bit from him last season. You saw his brain change. You saw his mind go from, okay, I'm in a two-gap system. I got to think about which direction I'm going. I got to figure out how to get there. I got to get off the ball. And he wasn't getting up off the ball quick enough. Now you're seeing him, okay, boom, we're off the ball. We're attacking. We're going at it. And I understand. It's OTAs. There's nothing about OTAs to me that says, oh my goodness, right? Like this is exactly who this guy is going to be. It's minicamp. There's nothing there that you see that is going to be, this is who this guy is going to be, because you can't tell anything from the trenches. There's no pads on. These guys aren't going 100%. You just can't tell. But the one thing that I could tell was that he knew what direction he needed to go, how quickly he needed to get off the ball, and what time, and had his timing down to a T, and that he has leaned down, he has slimmed down, he's got his body right, he's got his body in a position to where now you see him as a viable option at that three technique position, because not only does he have the size and the speed, but now he's got that athleticism to maintain that throughout the season. And that's what Ryan Poles was talking about last season when he said, you know, these guys have an ability to get bigger, but still maintain the speed. I think the Javon Dexter, and I would love to get an updated weight on him, I think he's gotten bigger, even though he slimmed down, and he will be able to maintain the speed that he has. And now his brain has flipped that switch to, boom, when the ball is snapped, I got to be after it. When the ball is snapped, I got to get out. I got to go. If we can see that on a consistent basis, I think that you don't have much to worry about on this defensive line. I think he makes that much of an impact. I think that the difference, right, all of a sudden you're forcing a quarterback to pick a direction. Hey, I'm going left. I'm going right. I got to get out of this guy's face because he's right here, ready to put a hand in my face, ready to bring me down. Up, Montez Sweat. And I'll say this, he improves DeMarcus Walker. If you get Javon Dexter hitting on all cylinders, he could improve DeMarcus Walker to the point where we see that 7-sack guy that we're hoping to get in free agency still. That we see that guy who we drafted. And I think that the impact when you talk about Jervon Dexter just doing something like that, making DeMarcus Walker relevant. If you guys see D-Walk at training camp, right? If you hear how we talk about him, if you hear how he's always talking, D-Walk is an engine of this team. The question is the engine in the car? D-Walk is a, like, if you can get him having a good season, he's going to be one of the leaders. He's going to be one of the people that go out there and say, no, everybody, we got to lock in. Keep your head in the game. Yo, this is what we're looking for. The leaders on your team don't always have to be the best players on your team. Sometimes the leaders on your team just got to be the guy that knows his job and is doing his job well. And I think if Jervon Dexter has that level of season, that you could see DeMarcus Walker's season take an uptick as well, because guys are going to be running right into his lap. Guys are going to be sitting there on a week-in and week-out basis saying, we got to worry about him. Boom, I just got hit from the left side. Who the heck was that? D-Walk's now celebrating. That is an engine of this defense, one of those guys that keeps everything going, keeps it hype, and his defense needs that. His defense needs that badly. Especially heading into this season. I love this, Shea, when he was on the show, he pointed out the fact that, you know, you usually don't get a repeat of the takeaways that you got in the season before. I'm not expecting the Bears to get 20 interceptions heading into this season unless you're able to consistently create that pressure. If you're able to get, like, I think, again, I keep going back to Jervon Dexter, but if he's able to create that pressure up the middle, you could talk about this defense being a 25 to 30 pick team, because there's going to be so much. The DBs are so good on this team that if you rush the quarterbacks, they're going to be able to impact your mistake. Now, the biggest thing that I want to see from this team, do you need to address that guy opposite of Jervon Dexter? Do you need to address, I'm sorry, not Jervon Dexter, of Montez Sweat? And there are answers out there. Here's the thing, right? I think that if you want to be cheap about this, if you want to not spend a ton of money on a guy out there, there are guys out there you cannot spend a ton of money on anyway. But if you want to not spend money on guys, I believe that Jervon Dexter is the key to that. He makes DeMarcus Walker better, makes Austin Booker better, makes Montez Sweat better, all of that, right? And I've said that as much. But there's nothing wrong for upgrading just for the sake of upgrading. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, if you go out there and you add a guy like like Yannick Ngakoue back into this defense, that makes this team better. I know that he didn't have the greatest showing last season. I know that he was a guy who a lot of people looked at and said, oh, he's fallen off. It's over. Why would you want to pay a guy like this? But I still remember the Yannick Ngakoue that had guys opposite of him, that had another pass rusher on the other side of him. And that guy was a 9.5 sack guy, was a 10 sack guy, was an 8 sack guy, was an 8 sack guy, was a 9.5 sack guy, was a 12 sack guy. That guy made impact on passing downs. It doesn't mean you don't still need DeMarcus Walker out there, because Yannick's not going to be able to handle the run. DeMarcus is still going to get his tick. He's still going to get bumped inside every now and then when guys need a breather. He's still going to get bumped outside, right, when guys need a breather. There's still going to be a heavy use for DeMarcus Walker. But make no mistake about it, if you can upgrade just for the sake of upgrading, as Bears fans, we should all be in on that. And I think that Yannick Ngakoue is a clear-cut upgrade over DeMarcus Walker. To the point that, like, I talked about Jervon Dexter taking this team to a top 10 to 12 level if he just plays the way that we hope that he's going to play this season. Let Yannick Ngakoue be the guy on the outside of him. Now you're talking about a top 5 level defense. You have no questions on your defensive line at that point, because now you have not only the starting unit, but you also have that backup unit that, to me, has the answers as well. Want to continue to see growth from Zach Pickens. We can't forget about Zach Pickens in this, right? Need to see that those backups be able to still make impact plays. DeMarcus Walker, can he be that guy? Austin Booker, can he be that guy? Now you've got a defensive line that I look at, and I not only see starters that I say, that guy's a 9-sack guy, he can get after you. That guy's a 12-sack guy, he can get after you. Guy in the middle, he's only going to probably be about 4 or 5 sacks, but he's going to consistently create pressure. Oh, okay, well, let's get to the backups. Now we got Austin Booker in there, who is a eight sack guy coming out of college who played less than 500 snaps, and he was basically Yannick Ngakoue. What's he out there for? We're on the pass. Here we go. I'm right after you. Here we go. Right? DeMarcus Walker being the backup for Montez Sweat. Can he do that? Absolutely he can. If Zach Pickens creates that pressure in the middle, I think that if you make one signing, it is not a bad deal to go out there and get a guy like Yannick Ngakoue on a low money deal, and I think that's available to the Chicago Bears. I don't think that Yannick's going to go out there and get huge money. He's coming off a $10 million contract season, off a season that he wanted big money and didn't get it. And now he's coming off a broken ankle. So with him coming off a broken ankle, do you think I'm giving you $10 million again? And a down season? A broken ankle and a down season. That's not $10 million. And I'm talking about the league. Now, could I see the Bears doing something where they're like, Yannick, come on in here. You're 29 years old. We want to bring you back. We want to see you work with Montez. We're going to get some answers. If we re-sign you here, how about we re-sign you to a two-year, $15 million deal? Could I see the Bears doing that? Absolutely. Front-loading that contract, guaranteeing some money for them? Absolutely, I could see that being done. And in that situation, now you're not feeling like, oh, we're tied to this guy for the long term and this is going to be a problem and this happens. No, you're still trying to develop the young guys. You're still trying to find the guy that's going to take his spot. That's just football. You're always trying to find that guy. Think about what Lance said on the pod with us, right, where he's always talking about how the Bears brought in other off-ball linebackers every year to try and replace him. And he was like, you're not taking my job. I'm going to go out here and show you why you're not taking my job. That's just the game. If Yannick Ngakoue continues to prove that, hey, listen, you know I'm supposed to be here. This is my defense as well. That's a different situation. But it is a clear-cut upgrade to me if you go out and you add him to this defense opposite Montez Sweat. And, I mean, listen, the big thing for me now when I look at this defensive line is, okay, who's the guy that consistently shows up Sunday to Sunday? We know it's Montez Sweat already, but who's that other guy going to be? To me, it has to be Jervon Dexter. But if we're talking about being a top 10 to top 5 defense, like they keep saying, it's not me saying, they keep saying we're top 5, we're top 5, we're top 5. Not with this defensive line, I don't think you're not. You are. Go out and add the piece. And now you've got options on who Sunday to Sunday you expect to show up. Now you've got some answers in that room. And if the young guys aren't the answer every single week, you know that you got the vets on the outside who are absolutely dominant week to week. I think this Bears defensive line is in a good spot moving forward. I would like to see them continue to grow. I think they're in a good spot right now, but I do think there's a ton of questions that we just don't have answers for. It feels good based on how last season ended. It looks good, but you got to get those answers, and you're not going to get those until we start playing football. So we'll see what this team ends up doing, man. Let me know if you guys agree with the Chicago Bears being the 27th ranked defensive line in the NFL. I have a hard time arguing it right now. The best defensive line they have in the NFL, the New York Jets. The Bears are behind some teams. I mean, like, there's some teams on here that some people might look at and say, I don't know about that, right? Let's see. Jacksonville Jaguars are directly ahead of us. Miami Dolphins, New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, even without Aaron Donald, are ahead of the Chicago Bears. Right? Like, there's some teams on here that you're like, maybe there's some question marks on, but I don't think major questions. Because the biggest question the Bears have are they going to show up on that defensive line week in and week out? We know Montez will. Will everybody else? Let me know you guys' thoughts in the comments below, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in to another episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. As always, man, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. To continue watching our Chicago Bears content, click the links on the screen or check the links in the description below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Don, one love. Peace.